The Whitmore Hospital for convalescent lunatics sat along a carriage track most people travelled only once. Imagine late summer. Sunlight splayed over the rutted road and the copper peaks of the buildings. Its warmth nested in the crowns of the trees and sinking into the bright green lawn of the viewing mound. Because the inclement weather of the past month had finally ceased, the matron was organising a picnic. The patients, lined up inside the galleries, pressed their faces to the windows and watched as she marched past the fountain in a trim black dress. Two attendants with wicker baskets walking smartly behind her. The inmates, Leeson and Herschel, were in the gallery of the men's ward nearest the door. The girl was inside the women's gallery, at the front of the shuffling crowd, her attention on the attendant who was unfurling a cut of cloth over by the rose bushes. How the sheet lulled briefly on a pocket of air before being snapped into place on the asylum grounds. It was the 2nd of August, 1877. We know this because Jane has read accounts of the day, and we have stood over her shoulder and read alongside her. 106 souls were in residence that summer, most in the main wards, 5 or so in refractory care. We know that 2 of the attendants were off work with fever, and that the superintendent was in the city applying for a permit to extend the farmyard so as to better accommodate the new litter of pigs. A litter that Sir Tom, the hospital tabby, was attempting to avoid by slinking along the stone wall at the edge of the property. Leeson and Herschel studied the cat from the men's ward window, a distant spot of ginger against the press of the woods. By the time the matron's attendants had brought out the next round of hampers, the animal's progress had been stalled by a cleft in the stone wall, a V-shaped opening that Sir Tom surveyed briefly and then leapt into. Leeson turned to Herschel just as a whiff of fresh air, of drying earth and dilly grass, gusted into the corridor. Surprised, the two men looked to its source, a gap between the ward door and its frame. What happened next set everything in motion. Herschel opened the old matchboard door, opened it as if he were allowed, as if he were back home on his farm in P. On an ordinary morning, lifting his own door latch and unceremoniously starting out. The other inmates watched him turn onto the path that led to the gatehouse. The big man in full stride, his grey painting smock giving his former ghostly shapelessness. His legs bare and hairy down to his boots. The attendants on duty did not notice Herschel. 2 of them had gone back inside to fetch hampers from the kitchen. And the third, a lanky blonde, was lingering near the door to the laundry, flirting with the sisters who worked there. The matron was alone on the grounds, kneeling by the fountain, smoothing out the large staff blanket and setting out the silver. When she finished, she sat up, and Herschel, registering her broad back and the whirl of her red hair, veered away, moving steadily toward the wrought iron gates. By the time he was pottering toward the woods and the collapsed section of the stone wall, she was folding the table napkins. A flurry of cheers went up in the men's gallery when he made it to the stone wall. The other patients watched as the farmer lifted one leg and then the other over the rubble at the base of the cleft. For a split second, Herschel seemed to waver there and then, whoosh, he was gone, his whole frame swallowed by the trees.